Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Thursday, June 9th. And I am glad to have Sheila McKenna on today for, as our guest. But first, before we speak with Sheila, I just want to remind everyone that the call-in number for guests is 914-803-4399. Again, 914-803-4399. You can call in with your questions or your comments, and you can also join us in the chat room as well. But before we do any of that, I wanted to give my sister Denise the opportunity to come on and share with us some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone. I have two quick announcements. One is about the makeup show, Chicago. So for those in the Chicago area or just those who are planning to fly in or drive in to attend, the Makeup Show Chicago is going to be held Sunday and Monday, June 12th and 13th. And for those planning to attend IMAX LA, please join Illusions Cosmetics at the Beauty Talk Meetup. It's going to be after the Pro Only event on Friday, June 24th. And if you would like to attend or just to receive additional information, you can email us at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com. And I did have some information on Crown Brush, and I think they now have a pro discount. So I will have more information on that by the end of the show.
Nice. Well, once again, thank you, Sheila McKenna, for joining us here on Beauty Talk.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you on. Like I said before, my sister's been talking about bringing you on for the longest of time, so I'm glad she finally reached out. I think airbrush makeup is something that's really big on our show. A lot of the listeners love talking about it and listening to others talk about it. But before we get into that, because we definitely want to talk about Kat Cosmetics tonight, but before we get into that, we want to know about Sheila McKenna. Like, we know you as the owner of Kat Cosmetics, but we don't really know anything about you as the makeup artist. So we want to talk a little bit about that first. So can you just tell the listening audience how you started as a makeup artist, when you started a makeup artist, and just a little bit of information about you?
Oh, okay. All right. So I guess I could start when my first paying gig, I guess, is when I start the clock, which would be at 18 years old, and it was behind the counter at an Estee Lauder counter. So that's basically where I start the clock ticking, although that job didn't last very long. It was 1980, 79, 80, and I'm a bit of a tomboy, and it wasn't a good fit for me. If you can just think back to what the makeup looked like in the late 70s and early 80s, it wasn't really, those pinks and purples weren't really working for me. But I just loved makeup. I grew up in a house with four brothers, so I was a closet girl. I was kind of forced into being a tomboy. I had to do what my brothers did. And if I was playing with any dolls or makeup, it was definitely behind closed doors. So it wasn't really really till much later in life that I decided to take it seriously, even though I wasn't getting paid to do makeup when I was going through my early 20s and mid-20s. I found myself in a position to be doing my friends' makeup for their weddings or hair. I always did hair. I actually cut my mother's wigs when I was like 13. I shagged them from a bob to a shag, you know. So I was definitely into the hair and makeup thing. But I really didn't take it seriously until I was well into my 30s. So in my 20s, I did a lot of different things, and some of them creative and some of them not so creative, but going to FIT for jewelry design was definitely a highlight during that decade. And driving a truck in Manhattan for a little while, that's the tomboy, see? But what can I say? The hair and makeup prevailed, and in my 30s, I decided to go to cosmetology school and get a license and start focusing on really what it was that I wanted to do. And I really thought it was going to be hair first, to be honest with you. I love doing hair, and an opportunity on a job presented itself when the makeup artist quit, and they looked at me. And I was doing hair on the job, and they said, "You can do makeup, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And I really never said no to anything. So that's how I got my experience, and that's basically how I learned, because I didn't really go to any school besides cosmetology school, which we all know does not spend more than a day on makeup.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, so you said you started cosmetology school in your 30s.
Yes.
Like, what kind of advice would you have for those out there who may be starting later in life? Not that 30 is old, but, you know, most of the time when you're choosing your career.
Oh,
you were the oldest one, right?
I was, yeah.
But most of the time when you're starting your career, you're normally starting at, you know, early 20s or, you know, late teens. So, like, what advice would you have for someone who may be starting later in life? Because there are some people out there who are starting, you know, late 40s, early 50s, and they want to be a makeup artist.
Right, and especially because of all of the involuntary career changes that have happened across the United States and even globally, I've been meeting people in my airbrush makeup classes who were accountants and stockbrokers, you know. So
you're talking to two right now, Sheila.
And they've always wanted to be a makeup artist, and this recession forced them into following a dream. But I cannot, you know. Being in your 30s and going to cosmetology school is definitely a benefit because you're older and you're definitely more mature than most of the people that are there. So just your attitude towards knowing exactly what you want. I mean, by the time you're in your 30s or later and you decide to do this, there's definitely no question that this is what you're focusing on doing, and you're, you know, for me, my dedication was there. I knew I was going to go to school, and I knew I was going to finish, where as younger, you know, in my younger years, I maybe would definitely not have been as dedicated to it. But so the confidence level or the life experience is there as a bonus because you can handle the situations that are presented to you, even in cosmetology school with an open mind and maybe slightly more mature, or just know how to absorb the creativity or the creative environment as best as you can, even though not, you know, just the average cosmetology school doesn't really go above and beyond anything that they have to. But if you go to one that's specialized or a branded one, they have other programs that you can sign up for, or competitions that you can join. And I grew up in Queens, and I lived on Long Island, and I still live on Long Island in New York. So instead of going to a school that was in my neighborhood, I decided to go to a school in Manhattan because I wanted to experience all of the different hair types that were out there. I just didn't want to be pigeonholed into one ethnicity. So my advice would be to expose yourself to as much as you can and find a school that has a multitude of ethnicities that you can learn how to do Dominican hair or, you know, white hair, ethnic hair, and expose yourself to all of that. I mean, that's how I learned how to do an updo and make it stay for a couple of days, you know. I never would have learned that at the, you know, salon on my corner here.
Right.
You know, so it's there's definitely a plus to being a little older, although I feel like people who are young and focused are truly blessed because they're just getting the job done that much sooner.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, how has the beauty industry changed? You say you started around 18, so you've been doing this over 25 years. How has the beauty industry changed since you first began?
Well, it changes constantly. It's always morphing, especially with all of the competition between the brands that want to come out with new products, or there's, you know, fashion drives everything, and with the new styles come new looks in makeup. So it's always morphing. But as far as my specialty, which is airbrushing, and I started airbrushing about 13 years ago, before that, doing makeup on camera was, I won't say it's easy, but it was definitely easier just because you could pack it on and
mm-hmm.
it would read beautifully on camera and you didn't have to be as clean as you have to today. And whether you're working in television or bridal, every single thing that's recording what you're doing is HD, whether it's a TV or a cell phone. I mean, I see some of the pictures that these cell phones take, and they're amazing. So the makeup artists today are being challenged, definitely more challenged than we were years ago, just because of this microscope that they're doing makeup in front of. But it's not just a microscope, it's also an enhancer. I know that you've probably experienced the same thing where if you put something that you think is a soft pink on the face and you see it on camera and it looks like a lollipop pink, the makeup artists now have to be able to look at a product and figure out what it's going to look like on camera because it's not going to look the way that their eye sees it, generally speaking. So That's how the industry has changed as far as recording what we're doing. As far as what we're physically doing, I've added airbrushing. I will never choose to do a traditional makeup application over airbrushing ever. So I'm an airbrush artist now. It's not just makeup. I can basically paint anything that I want, but I enjoy doing faces.
Well, I wanted to tell you that Sarah Simon Vance told me to tell you hello, and she said
who?
That the two of you, Sarah, do you remember her from your very first airbrush class when you yourself was taking an airbrush class?
Sarah.
And she said that the two of you took an airbrush class together, and then she said, I guess because of your experience in the class or what you found out in the class, right after then is when you started Kent Cosmetics.
That's true. It was. I became hooked immediately when I learned how to airbrush. It was. I took a couple of classes, and the one that really pushed me over the edge was a class that I took with. A magazine called Airbrush Action Magazine, and they were doing weekend conferences either in Vegas or in Atlantic City, and you could sign up for 1, 2, or 3 day airbrush seminars, and these are the guys that paint motorcycles and, you know, murals and airbrush artists, and that's what sent me over the top, because just being in that environment and learning how to do it as an illustration art is what sold me. I tried finding classes with pearl art and craft. I mean, nobody was doing airbrushing at the time. It was really difficult to find a place where you could go and learn illustration art. so I did take it. And it's a really cool magazine to subscribe to. I'm not sure if they're, you know, still around. It's been a while since I've gotten a magazine or renewed my subscription. But I learned a lot from that magazine because they feature how to do a helmet 1 week, or they feature how to do dewdrops another week, or how to do the realistic photorealism airbrushing. So, and they don't just tell you how to do it. They have step-by-step images, and it's really informative. So as an artist, these little cheap tricks and special effects are really great because you can incorporate them into beauty, and it teaches you how to control an airbrush to do what your mind wants it to do. Sometimes your mind is telling you to do something, but your hand isn't doing it, and you just need, you know, these techniques to be, you know, illustrated and explained. And that's what got me going, really.
So basically, what inspired you, before you took that class, what even inspired you to even take an airbrush class?
Well, there was, at the time, I was working for Mac, and that's where I met Rocky. I know that you have interviewed Rocky. I listened to him on your show as mm-hmm. well. And he, you know, we were trainers at Mac, and there was the buzz in the industry began sometime around 1998. So it was just a curiosity, I guess, that got me going in that direction. But I can't really say that anything inspired me other than wanting to learn more about art and learn more mm-hmm. about this technique and how it can help me. If I could, I would just go to classes every day. Like, I wish I could go to these trade shows and just attend education. But, of course, I'm working at the shows, but I love to learn. And I love to watch. Like, I could watch somebody put on mascara, you know, as if it's the first time I've seen them do it. So I love to learn. And that was really, you know, the chatter at Mac and among our friends was to, this was going to be the wave of the future, and this is what we need to be doing. And some people, you know, like myself, fell for it hook, line, and sinker, and some didn't. And that's art, you know, and that's makeup. And my passion led me down the airbrush aisle.
Hmm. Well, we have can we have a quick question from the chat room before we get really deep into the airbrushing? There was a quick question about, hold on. I have it, I believe. What made you choose hair instead of just makeup?
Excuse me, I didn't hear that.
I said, what made you choose hair instead of just makeup? And what influenced you to go the makeup route instead of using your cosmetology license for hair?
Oh, well, the passion for hair began as a little kid. I don't know where it came from. It was just there. So I can't even say that something happened that made me decide to cut my mother's wigs. It just was there one day, and I did it. And she wore the wig out of the house. I don't know if she kept it on her head, but she certainly made me feel good about it when I said, look, Mom, look what I did to your wig. So, but I'm a crafty kind of person, so I'm generally making things like jewelry or macrame, or I like making stuff. So hair just fit right into that, whether you're creating a hairstyle or an updo or a design. So it was easy for me. The makeup, I was really into the special effects as a teenager. There were many Halloween competitions that I won, and then, you know, a couple of my brothers, too, at that point, because I was doing their makeup. And I really enjoyed the special effects part of it. And I can't really say that something sparked that beauty interest. It was just, it was an opportunity. I mean, I've always admired beauty and admired beautiful makeup. So it was a natural progression. And, of course, I was thrust into it by having that opportunity to just take that job immediately. But I had already been doing my makeup, you know, my friend's makeup for weddings or special events. So it wasn't like I was a club kid or anything like that. It was just beauty. I love beauty makeup, and that's what I did. But getting back to the hair question, I guess I can't really say where it came from. It was just there at a very young age.
Now, what areas of makeup do you focus on now with your work?
Well, I focus on beauty. My focus is to basically to teach people how to airbrush. I do the training classes and to create, you know, new products, maybe new colors, since I've already got the formulas that I believe the industry needs. But I love beauty makeup, and I love to do anybody's makeup, whether it's for television or for bridal, any event. I'll never say no. So I'm satisfied with whatever I'm doing, as long as it's putting makeup on somebody. That's the fun part. That's playing. That's getting paid to play.
Right. Can you tell me a little bit about when after you've taken the airbrush classes and you're just now starting to airbrush, what was your first airbrushing job like, your experience with going on for the first time as a professional airbrushing? What was that like?
The first job was, I can't remember specifically what the job was for, but I remember the girl, a pretty model, and it was a half-day shoot. I wish I could remember what the job was for. But when I started airbrushing, I was airbrushing with a 10-pound compressor, 20 feet of hose, a moisture trap, and a regulator, and I even had the little vice grip that you put on the countertop to hold the airbrushes in. And when I turned the thing on, she just looked at me and pulled her head back and said, "Is that going to hurt?" And I was like, "No, it's not." And then she I came at her and she tilted back again even farther and she said, "Will it come off? I have an audition this afternoon." And I was like, "Yes, it'll come off." You know, so my first experience with it on a job was hesitation from the person that I was putting it on. There was no hesitation from my end, but I did have, since I was doing two categories, hair and makeup, I would generally have a makeup kit, hair kit, and then that compressor in a backpack on my back. It was really rough. I'm really glad that things are a lot lighter and smaller than they are, and geared towards makeup artists now, because that was tough.
Mm-hmm. Seems like back in the day, all of those compressors were huge, humongous.
Yeah, I still have it, and that's the one that I use to paint my son's bicycle and to paint his helmet, you know. So I always break out that workhorse when I need to.
Right. Now, how has your career changed now that you are totally an airbrush makeup artist? Has your career changed at all? Anything different about it now that you're just pretty much airbrushing?
Just airbrushing alone changed my life, but mm-hmm. it's in conjunction with having a business. So I can't say that
right.
just airbrushing changed my life. It was also creating a product and having the opportunities to travel globally to teach people and to do classes and to spread the airbrush love, you know. So just because I wouldn't have been doing any of this if I didn't start airbrushing. So it completely changed my life. I mean, like I said, I'm
mm-hmm.
an airbrush artist now. I'm not just a makeup artist. So I can do other types of... Truly, one of my goals when I retire is to go to just be up in the country and to paint all of the quads that everyone rides up there. You know, I want mine to... I don't want the camo on mine. I want little flowers and peace signs on mine, you know. So... But
right.
just learning how to do something creative and loving it changed it. But I have had many opportunities now as an airbrush artist, whether it was being called in specifically to do the dances on somebody's team for a video or to do tattoo coverage specifically for helping another makeup artist. I mean, I get these calls for industry artists to come in and help with specific aspects to certain jobs. I would never get that call if I wasn't really, you know, known in the industry as an airbrush artist. So, and as far as just, and I haven't given up any of the bridal. I do have my friends in the industry who I've been working with even before as an airbrush artist, that when they get overbooked with a wedding and they might have 12 people, I'll come and help them, and then I'm airbrushing beauty makeup, helping them, and I love it.
Right.
But I did get to see some really cool countries. You know, Iceland is one of them. I mean, who would ever go to Iceland on their own, really? Like, it's not one of the places that you think of first when you're thinking vacation, but it was one of the best places I've ever been. So it's definitely been a fun ride.
Absolutely. Well, that's nice. Tell me a little bit about how KET was started. When did you decide, okay, I want to create airbrush foundation?
Well, that started basically it was because I didn't really, what I was using wasn't working for me. So a lot of times things will be created because, you know, the person is frustrated with whatever it is that they're using and they want it to be a specific way. So for me, it came out of that frustration. I had gotten a tremendous amount of product ingredient education at MAC, being a trainer for them. They just make you memorize that product knowledge book of theirs, and that was where I got all of my product ingredient knowledge. And then just having a natural curiosity to what it is in a specific ingredient that makes your skin shiny or matte, or what's good for your skin, what that does nothing for your skin. So when I found that I was frustrated with what I was using, whether it was the color selection or the payoff on the skin was either, you know, too dry or too shiny, that's really when I decided that I would create a product, although it really was my mother-in-law's idea originally at a party when she said, you should start your own makeup line and call it KET Cosmetics. And I was like, yeah, great idea. Even thinking that it would ever happen. You know, that was like 4 years, 5 years before it ever happened. But her maiden name is KET, so, and it happens to be my husband's name, so that's where the name came from.
Gotcha.
So it was, so that's how it started. Really just wanting products to look a certain way on camera and having the ability to test it. You know, I do have family that's in the industry. At the time I had a brother who was a cameraman, and he would call me for all his jobs, and another brother who was a producer, and he would call both of us for his jobs. So I had the opportunity to test these products, whether they were being used on high def or not, because at the time not everything was high def. So, and, you know, just using it in every aspect of the makeup industry that I could, that's basically how I would test it. And I think the first time I shared the makeup with anybody was at one of the fashion shows under the tent in New York, and I brought in a couple of bottles and handed them to a couple of industry people and said, you know, try this out and tell me what you think. So that's how it started.
Nice.
So we have another question in the chat room.
Go ahead.
Okay. And we just wanted to know, how did you get started with your training classes?
Well, I knew that people would have to learn how to do this, especially the right way. There's a technique to controlling an airbrush that involves a little bit of patting your head and rubbing your stomach. It's not something that really is just picking up an airbrush and spraying like a can of spray paint. So I knew that that however this was going to grow, it would have to be based in training. And, you know, so I basically created the very first agenda based on what I learned with my airbrush class in Atlantic City, you know, what they teach you is the fundamentals for controlling a dual action airbrush. So so that's how it started, by focusing more on teaching people. And then if everybody is good at it, then they have the opportunity to try different brands and see which one that they like, what's going to be working for them. So training is really important. It's not like you can just pick it up and just start spraying. I mean, you could, but I compare
right.
that to buying a box of hair dye and doing it yourself at home, or going and getting it professionally done. There is a difference.
Right. I remember when you all first started, you were, or at least when I first discovered Kat, you all were doing training classes for free, but they were in New York. So if you could get to New York, you could train on the airbrush for free.
That's right.
That
was when we first started, yeah. And that was at Toby's place, Toby Britton's place in New York, yep.
Yeah.
And Rocky and I, Rocky did the trainings with me, and we did a lot of them, and we contacted the local 798. I mean, we just contacted
mm-hmm.
as many people as we could just to start getting the awareness out there.
Right, right.
Now, how does Kat Cosmetic compare to other airbrush brands?
That's a loaded question. it's the best.
Right, right.
You know what?
I mean, you're laughing, but we all agree with that. There's a lot of people out there who agree with just what you just said.
You know what? I'm going to sleep really well tonight knowing that, because it makes me happier to know that people feel that way. But I have to tell you that when you have the ability to make something and you have the ability to make it the way you want it, then it's the best, because you've made it the way that you want it. It's doing exactly what you want it to do. So for me, whatever product it is, because it was based on what my needs were as a makeup artist, or Rocky's, because Rocky also did product development with me. You know, when we're fulfilling one of our desires as a makeup artist, we're, in essence, fulfilling your needs as a makeup artist. That's the goal. So, but the formulations are all different. I mean, not every airbrush makeup is the same. It's just like walking into a department store and seeing 15 different cosmetic counters. They're not all the same. They're not all made in the same factory, and all of the pigments aren't purchased from the same supplier. So knowing, you know, you can get cheap ingredients, or you can get expensive ingredients, or you can get, you know, synthetic or natural. They're all different. So my advice to anybody that isn't familiar with all of the choices that there are is that they should go out and get them and test them and see what works for them. We happen to have a water-based formula that I, you know, absolutely love and use it 90% of the time. We have an alcohol-based formula that's waterproof and smudge-proof and transfer proof, and that is not coming off no matter what. That one I use 10% of the time because it's a high maintenance product, and I'll only use it unless mm-hmm. it's absolutely necessary, which would be for either a waterproof makeup application or tattoo coverage or body makeup where you just can't have it rubbing off on anything. So it's different because of the formula base. It's different because of the color selection. I truly feel like our colors are all-inclusive. That was one of the problems when I was first developing the makeup, was that I didn't have colors that matched everybody that sat in front of me. And because my mind works in color theory, I really thought that if I had to look at a group of people, I could basically narrow it down to red, yellow, or blue faces in front of me. I always joke that the blue faces are the ones that need oxygen, you know, so there, you won't see too many blue faces. But everyone is either red or yellow or a combination of both, with one dominating the other. So
right.
just starting right from there, I could create my olive-based makeups and my ruby-based makeups, and anybody in between is a combination of two. So when you're airbrushing, it's easy to custom blend and match anybody, but the color selection has been simplified. So it's easy to figure out.
Well, I will say that I find that, and that's one of the things that I love about it, is that there's so many colors there that just work, you know, on everybody. And a lot of times it's not even about mixing for me. I mean, it's just I can just pick one bottle, bam, it works, you know, which is a great thing because a lot of times when you're airbrushing and you maybe have to airbrush more than one person, you really, especially on a film set, a lot of times you really don't have that much time to keep playing around to figure out, you know, mixing different colors. So it's a great thing because it just works all the time. I really have nothing bad at all to say about it.
Well, thank you. Mission accomplished.
Yep. I mean, absolutely. You really have accomplished something there. It's a great thing, and I haven't heard anything but great things from other artists.
I have to. I mean, I can honestly tell you that even when we were developing the fixed cream makeup, I took the samples to the gym with me. I told all of the ladies at the gym, if you let me test this on you, I'll give you free product. And they were like, sure. So every color was actually matched on somebody's face. It's not just like a guessing game. You know, let's just make this one a little darker. Like we literally put the product on every single guinea pig that we could possibly find before we, you know, pulled the trigger on it.
Right. And that was a good, that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good thing. I think that if other brands focused on that, zero in on exactly what you just did, I think that, you know, they would be just as great. They would, you know, people would be just as happy with it. And I'm not knocking any other brand because, you know, I've tried and I've used other brands, and there are some things about other brands that I really like. But like I said, you know, sometimes I'll, you know, when I have a job where I know I'm going to be airbrushing, especially if I'm going out of town and if you don't want to take everything, I'll pack my cat colors.
Oh.
Because I know, you know, I know that I'm going to be able to use, you know, I'll be able to match whoever I'm working with just that set of colors. Normally,
that's
if
great.
I'm taking, you know, normally if I'm taking other brands, then I'll grab some stuff from Ket to add to it. You know what I mean? So
that's just great.
It just works for me.
That's funny because I do the same exact thing. I was actually, I did a camera test for a TV pilot that I'm going to start next week. We did that today. And so yesterday I was loading into the, you know, makeup room and everything, and I loaded up all of my stuff, and I had my cat cream colors, and I have the airbrush colors, and I have my airbrush, and I also have another airbrush, and I decided which one should I take because, you know, I don't want anything to happen to the cat when I'm even surprised I'm even using it. And so, because I don't want anything to mess up, I just want it to be perfect, and I want it to stay, you know, the same way that it was when I received it.
That's so great.
I decided, of course, to take the cat because that's what I use all the time and that's what I'm most comfortable with. And then, like my sister said, I have all the colors together, everything in one little, you know, one little bag that I carry everything in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just sitting there in the drawer, and I won't take it out because I'm like, I can't let it sit out over the weekend. I need to keep it in the drawer. Just, you know, I'm sitting there like being paranoid like somebody's going to take the airbrush. It's crazy,
but
I love it.
Well, you know, it's you mentioned the creams. The creams actually have more colors to choose from than the liquids. But when you have just these two ranges to choose from, whether olive or ruby, it is very simple to match. I find most people match the olive range, like straight up out of the bottle or in the fixed creams, most people match the neutral range. But that doesn't mean that you don't need the rubies because a lot of times when you're doing makeup and there could be areas of the face that look a little gray, then you just go right into the ruby and warm it up and it neutralizes it. So airbrushing makes it really easy, but it's not like you can't achieve that with the creams either. So the concept behind the colors is the same, whether you're airbrushing or not. So I'm really happy to hear that, ladies. You know, that, like I said, that I'm going to sleep really well tonight. That was really nice. Thank you.
You know, that's what's really good about the color range, because, you know, even if you just decide, okay, this one color is going to match me, like you said, if one particular line doesn't work, then maybe you go to the ruby line or whatever, and vice versa. You just, I mean, it's easy to just choose almost like the same color in each range, and just, you know, you just make it work. You just balance it out. If it's
right.
too much green,
right.
then you just use a little bit of the ruby colors and vice versa.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Very good.
Well, you know what? I just wanted to say, I know that Cynthia Jones is listening, and if your daughter is not making any noise in the background, I would appreciate it if you called in, because Cynthia is an airbrush queen, and
uh-huh.
I know she has nice things to say about cats, so if you can call in, Cynthia, I would appreciate it if you called in and joined the conversation for a few minutes. But I also wanted to talk about your latest compressor.
Okay.
Once receiving it and using it, I had so much. I was tweeting all about it. I was like, I could not believe this. I was like, my goodness, this compressor is so great. It was just, I was speechless when I was using it, and I was like telling everybody about it. I turned Cynthia on to it, and now she has it, and now she's on the line. Cynthia, you want to say something, please?
I was doing lash extensions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you're working. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Cynthia.
I actually met you last year after IMET. I took a refresher course with Rocky for the 2-day airbrush class with Kat.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I fell in love with the compressor.
Oh,
and
that's great.
Fell in love with the foundations and have been using it ever since. I mean, I've tried a lot of different companies, and definitely, like, with my darker skin clients, the colors are right. They are really working well. And, you know, if any adjusting needs to be done, then, you know, I do a little mixture. But I love it.
Cynthia, not only to fall in love with the colors and the compressor and all that, but you can also say that you fell in love with the technique
that
Rocky taught during that class.
It definitely changed my life.
It does. Mm-hmm. It really elevates your airbrushing skills.
And it made it so much easier, so much lighter, less product to be used. And I mean, it was a great, great, excellent 2-day course. I would admonish anybody. I don't care if you've been in the business for 10 years. You got to take that class. Airbrush 1 and 2 from Kat.
Thank you.
I've been doing airbrushing for about 5 years, but it just changed my whole outlook on how I was airbrushing.
That's great to hear. I'm very happy to hear that, because I feel the same way when it comes to watching someone maybe use an eyeliner brush. You know, we've been using liquid eyeliner brushes for years, and then all of a sudden you just see somebody do something that is so easy, and you say to yourself, wow, I mean, why didn't I do it that way 10 years ago, you know? So it's when we focus on teaching illustration art techniques, then you have the freedom to be whatever kind of artist you want. We happen to choose doing makeup with the airbrush, but it something clicks in your head that makes more sense when you're contouring or highlighting or covering blemishes, and I really appreciate your positive feedback.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks.
Definitely, and also I airbrush eyes and blush and everything as a result of the class. Before, I was just doing foundation and a little bit of blush, but now I've done everything probably but the lips. At this point,
right, but we don't want to do the lips, like that just won't look
right.
Good. It's beauty. It's beauty makeup.
Right.
Now,
Sheila, I know you teach a lot of beauty with your airbrushing, but when it comes to your classes, do you ever deal in your classes with a little special effects with the airbrush, like covering tattoos or creating, you know, like bruises and things like that?
Well, I have done it in the past. I don't have anything on the agenda that has it included in either the basic or advanced classes. There was a time where we did some complementary classes maybe a year ago where we would focus on tattoo coverage or waterproof makeup, but I did post a video on YouTube recently doing tattoo coverage and airbrush maintenance, which is really helpful because there are times where I've had customers call and they're basically just saying the nozzle won't go into the nozzle because the nozzle fell out of the nozzle. And it's really hard to communicate when you really can't, like, specifically say what's going on and how to, you know, troubleshoot an airbrush. So sending the customers to the video, we've had many call back and say, that was great. I didn't have it put together the right way. So, and most airbrushes are built the same way. So it's not just specific to Ket. I, you know, you can take them apart and put them back together and find the same internal components inside of a Temtu or an Iwata or a Sparmax airbrush. So it's pretty universal. I'm not so sure about the Badger or Pache guns, but the Iwata, Temtu, Sparmax, Ket, they're all kind of built the same, just different size nozzles or different metals. So, But that doesn't mean I won't be doing some kind of a special effects class in the future. It would be great to focus on tattoo coverage because, like, 7 out of 10 people have tattoos that don't want them to be exposed
right.
at their weddings. And it's kind of funny
right.
because I have a really big tattoo on my back, and I love it, and I can't imagine not showing it off. But there are lots of people that don't want anything showing on their wedding day. So it's big business, tattoo coverage.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's color theory. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that it was something that I would really like to do more with the airbrush, and that's covering tattoos.
Well, you know, take a look at the video. I want to do the girl who I did the coverage on is her skin is fairly light. I want to do tattoo coverage on somebody who is medium and someone who is a dark complexion, which is what I did at the makeup show New York this past month. I demonstrated on a light, medium, and dark skin tone. And we only had 45 minutes on stage, and I had all three of them done in no time, which is the beauty of airbrushing because there's no struggling. As long as you understand color theory and understand how to use the olive and rubies, then it's really simple to cover a tattoo, unless it's huge. You know, that would take a long time. But for the most part, it's never been easier.
Right.
And for those of you who want to see that video, type in Ket Cosmetics and Sheila McKenna on YouTube. There's my shameless plug.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about airbrushing for HD and digital photography. What should we know?
Well, I think you need to know what the product is going to look like. That's the bottom line, because it's not going to look like what you're looking at. So if you pick up a pink, my advice would be, digital photography, you have a little more playroom than you do with HD video. The videos are just super enhanced. So anything that you put on, I feel is just more vivid. If it's a blue-red, you see more of the blue or purple. Everything just seems to be like what it is, but on steroids. You know, frosted eyeshadows look like glitter practically. So I find myself picking up creamy-type colors. So I know that they will look slightly reflective on camera, like on HD, but will look creamy in digital photography, especially if you're doing somebody that, let's say you are doing bridal, and they're going to be photographed and videotaped. You have to choose products that will look good on both, but I also feel like you should tell your client what to expect. So if somebody wants to have a little bit of a frosted eyeshadow on, you can let them know that it will look really pretty in the, you know, photographs, but it might look a little over the top in the video, and let them choose, you know. But mm-hmm. I find myself, for beauty makeup, just choosing colors that maybe are not as vivid, because I know that they will look more vivid on camera. And knowing what, you know, if you're looking at a product that looks matte, then it's going to look really dry on the skin. And if you're looking at a product that is really creamy or reflective, it might look like really like perspiration on the skin or super shiny. So even with glosses, I, you know, the gooey glosses just look like they're over the, like the lips are melting off the face. So I choose glosses that aren't super, super gooey, but just glossy.
Right.
I don't know. Do you find yourself doing the same thing? I, both of you ladies work in, you know, the industry. Do you make the same choices?
I mean, for the most part, actually, I did two ladies today, and I just, you know, kind of hand-painted them, and I just kept looking at them like, I should have airbrushed that. I should have airbrushed that. Because the one lady had, I don't know if it was like a scar or something on like the side of her chin. And, I mean, I covered it, but I didn't really put much effort into really trying to cover it. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, if I had airbrushed that, that would have been so simple.
It would be gone. Right.
It would be gone.
It would be gone. That's why I swear I would just never choose the traditional techniques ever again, just because of that.
But I mean, it's true.
It makes your life so much easier as an artist to know that you can basically, you know, look at anything and know that, oh, I could do that.
Right.
It's nice to be in that position as an artist.
Right, because I kept thinking, well, what if they get a really, you know, a super close-up and somebody notices it? And
right.
I thought, instead of me sitting here worrying about it the whole day, I should have just airbrushed it, and I wouldn't have to, you know, even think about it.
Right. You know, do I have a minute to talk about how I covered a scar? I don't know how much time
sure.
we have.
Sure.
I had to do body makeup on a woman who the job was for a gentleman who was putting together his reel in order to get work. So this was going to be a very artistic, creative image of a naked woman, and she was standing on a pedestal, and the pedestal rotated, and the camera, which was an HD camera, was super tight on her skin, so you didn't really see her in her entirety as naked, but as she rotated, the camera panned up her body, you know, deliberately missing her private parts, but just scanning past her calf, and then her thigh, then her stomach, and her back. It was really done elegantly, and she had a scar on her stomach that I didn't notice. I took the Hydro Foundation. Whenever I have to do body makeup, I'll just load it up in my hands with equal parts of Cetaphil moisturizer, and
mm-hmm.
I'll just rub it all over the whole body as a base, and then I'll airbrush little spots that maybe need some extra coverage. But the scar just was, you know, it flew past me. I didn't see it. It was really small, but the way she was rotating and the way the camera was so tight on her skin, that scar passed right through the middle of the camera. So he did ask me to cover it, and it was a really small line in her stomach. And I was able to, because the camera picks up on the texture of the skin too, what I did was with an eyeliner brush, I took Fix cream makeup and I stippled it with an eyeliner brush in the scar, powdered it, and then airbrushed over it, and then you couldn't see it, even super tight with the HD camera. So, I, you know, it depends on how tight a camera is going to be on your client.
Right.
But with that one, that was the Uber challenge, and I was able to cover it up. So it's just
wow.
It's something that if I had to do that manually, I would be putting it down, powdering it, and it would be lifting off. It would be an endless cycle of touching and lifting, touching and lifting. So the airbrush is what put it over the top and made it invisible.
Exactly. And I think that's why I really didn't try to do much covering it up, because I knew it would have been, I would have just been dabbing all day, you know, and I just thought, forget it.
Right.
And I even considered taking out the airbrush and trying to hit just that one spot.
right.
I'll leave it alone.
So what, now, will you be speaking at IMAS or doing any classes or anything at IMAS?
I will.
This year?
Yes. I will be doing tattoo coverage.
Oh, perfect.
I will be doing tattoo coverage, and I'm really not sure which day. I don't have that time slot right in front of my face, but, you know, I guess it's about an hour that we're on stage, so I'll be able to do a light, medium, and dark skin tattoo coverage, and I'll be sharing a booth. I have a new distributor whose territory is California, Chicago, Texas, and Missouri. So I'll be sharing a booth with them, and they're called Muse Beauty. And if you're a friend on Facebook, you'll probably see them on our Facebook page. And they are just a wonderful team of veteran makeup artists who have the same level of passion for airbrushing, and they're spreading the love in those territories. And I'll also be working with them this weekend at the makeup show in Chicago, because that's their territory. So I'll be doing demos all day at both shows, at the booth, and then individually on stage at both shows.
Now, okay, I know you said you have, you know, see, I'm trying to get you to get a class going on here. But
well, tell me where and
class.
When. We'll get down there. Yeah.
Well, hey, that would be nice to put one together, but I would love to see a class, you know, where you're talking, you're demonstrating the tattoo coverage, but also, I don't know if you're ever getting to stenciling and, you know, creating your own tattoos, because it just seems like the last few jobs that I had, it was a lot of covering of tattoos, stenciling, creating stencils, just all of this tattoo work from every direction.
Right.
So I would love to see some of the companies, airbrush companies, really get into that type of thing in their class.
Well, I'll have to put together an agenda for one. I just made some stencils today for the show because I, you know, just have that creative bug, and I was preparing for the trip this weekend. And I made my stencils literally in Photoshop and printed them out on Friskit paper and cut them out. So all my circles are perfect circles, you know. So it is something that I think a lot of people would enjoy learning how to do. So I will seriously take that suggestion into consideration and work on an agenda for a day. That would be great.
I would love that. I'd be the first one there. So please keep us posted.
Okay.
Well, we thank you so much, Sheila, for joining us. We really appreciate it. We're going to have you back, because we could probably talk.
Yes, we would love to have you back on the 23rd. Now, you said you're going to L.A. for the IMATS in L.A., correct?
Yes.
Now, when do you get there?
I think I am, let's see, I can open up my iCal. I'm flying to Pasadena on the 24th.
Okay. So you're still in New York on the 23rd, and maybe possibly you're available on the 23rd to talk for a few minutes about your class at IMATS.
Sure. I would love to.
Okay.
Bring on the show a couple of people that's going to be participating in the show to come on and talk for a few minutes. So
okay, great. I'll put it on my calendar right now. And would it still be at 9 o'clock? same time?
Yep, still be at 9.
Yes.
It's, you'll be
it's
the first
on the calendar.
Up.
All right.
Now, before you hang up, we want to know from you what beauty means to you.
What beauty means to me? What does beauty mean to me? Well, you know, that's a tough one because I happen to find beauty in absolutely everything. So, but what I love most is nature and art, and I guess nature inspires art. So beauty to me is all of God's creation, which is every single thing on this earth, people included. And it's the people I interact with. It's scuba diving. I mean, there's nothing like relaxing under the ocean and being able to breathe while you're there. It's incomparable to anything above the ocean, I could tell you that much. I am a water sign, too, so maybe that's why I'm drawn to it so much. I love all of the coral and the sea life. It's just, it's like Avatar, you know. It's beautiful, but I guess I tend to be a person that's a little more half glass full than half glass empty, you know, glass half empty. So I do look for the best in everybody and focus on that and make my gratitude list every day. That's beautiful. When you can be happy with, you know, your circumstances and what you're doing and be able to, you know, cope with life, because life doesn't always do exactly what you want, but finding the beauty in everything that's happening is what beauty is.
Right. Nice.
And scuba diving. It's really nice down there.
Hey.
And Vermont. I love the country, so there you go.
Well, thank you so much, Sheila. And we'll be talking with you again in a couple of weeks. What, 2 weeks from now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. From now.
Great. Okay.
So we'll
thank
chat
you
with you
so
then.
Much.
Thanks a bunch.
Okay.
Thank
bye.
You. We'll send you details.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
So to everyone out there who is listening, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate your support. Go out on our profile page here on Blog Talk Radio and mark it as a favorite. Please tell at least 3 people this week about Beauty Talk and have them join us next week. And we'll keep you posted on Facebook and Twitter as well as to who our guest is. We have someone lined up. We're just waiting for a final confirmation, and we'll get them on. Get them on next week. So until then, continue to be beautiful and blessed. Have a good night.
Thank you.